call the Board of Supervisors to session.
Supervisor Ogren, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now for Chaplain Bradley.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be here today. We express our gratitude for the rain, and we pray that it would continue for some time. Father, for the activities in this meeting today, for those who are here to share, we're grateful for the participation in our government. For those who serve us, we are grateful for their service. Thank you for the time they commit to the work of the county. And all these things, we're truly grateful for our personnel and our public. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We'll do roll call.
Okay. Supervisor Help?
Present.
Supervisor Cobsett?
Here.
Supervisor Chris?
Here, present.
Supervisor Ogren?
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
And the board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and Siskiyou Power Authority and receives no additional compensation.
All right. With that, I'd like to recognize Senator Brian Daly's representative, Bruce Ross, who came up here today to hear our proceedings, as well as I'm sure that was a pleasant drive coming up the canyon.
Yeah.
It was nice getting water on the windshield. With that, we'll go into presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend to 5 for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within jurisdiction of the Board of Supervisors. Mr. Brian Snooney.
Good morning, Supervisors. I want to give a quick fire update. It's Brian Shoney, I'm the Director of Emergency Services here for Siskiyou County. And so as you know, it's nice with a little bit of rain. We do have some concern with the rain, and we're addressing those with the National Weather Service currently for the burn scars that we have. Let's talk about recovery. So where we're at right now for the Mill Fire and, of course, Mountain Fire and McKinney Fire. For the Mill Fire, the trailers have arrived. We have 5 or 6 in place, and we have another 4 coming in today. They'll be weatherized and winterized this afternoon, and hoping to have all of that complete by Wednesday. As far as ROEs go, we have 205 of 229 ROEs, which is right of entries. So a lot of really good participation in both sides, McKinney and Mill Fire. Making sure that we're going to get that cleaned up quickly. And as far as going with the cleanup part of it, so Anvil has been awarded the contract through the state, and they are going to do a kickoff meeting on Monday in Sacramento, and then as soon as that kickoff meeting is complete, they will caravan up here and start the process. So Tuesday morning will be asbestos abatement. We'll have 2 teams in the Mill Fire, as well as 2 teams in the McKinney Fire. Our priority with the McKinney Fire is going to be the VARs, or the values at risk. So anything at the higher elevations surrounded by anything that's in the debris flow, that's going to be our biggest concern right off the bat, just for the sheer fact that those areas can wash into the watershed. And that's a huge concern for us. So we are looking at that, moving, which I'm really excited about. We have 8 crews total, and that's going to be They're expecting a quick push and a quick cleanup, trying to get it before the snow really starts to fall, which hopefully we'll get a little bit of a holdout on that. So Wednesday morning at 6:30 a.m. is an all go. So you'll see convoys of dump trucks and low boys up and down I-5 within Weed and heading over to the McKinney Burns car. one of the main priorities right now with the McKinney side is also the community center. So I pushed really hard to make sure that that gets done first. So we have that one team working on the high value risks, and then we have another team working on the community center so we can start to rebuild and start that process for the folks in the Klamath River project, or Klamath River, I'm sorry. And then, so lastly, I would like to go over the watershed push right now. We're in talks with the state of California, Department of Water Resources, and then we also have the Wildlife Foundation as well. We are looking to get rain gauges installed in the Klamath River, along the Klamath River. It's one of the only watersheds in California that doesn't have adequate rain gauges. So we have a funding source that we're pushing forward, and I also pushed another declaration up to the state as well to help pay for that. And it looks really, really promising. So it looks 4 to 5 gauges. Right now we're just trying to determine where would be the best places for those rain gauges. As well as the log decks are out there. They've done, Forest Service has actually done a really good job, and I'd like to thank the Forest Service on that for the debris flow mitigation in the McKinney Scar. They've done a really good job, and they're continuing to work this week through like latticing some of the logs into the high value risk areas and in the watersheds, and then as well as Public Works. Our Public Works, Siskiyou County, is doing a fantastic job with a culvert replacement. That, pending any questions, is the end of my report.
Any questions, colleagues?
Only one. You have the dump trucks going. That material, are they going to haul that out of the county?
Yes, sir. So the plan for that will be Oregon or Anderson.
Okay. Yep. So it won't go. They won't go from wherever they're doing the work to the transfer station to Oregon.
No, it's a straight shot.
Straight shot. Okay.
Yes, and then the only limiting factor would be if there is snow or it's too wet and soggy because it's based off the tonnage. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just a comment, I want to draw attention to it. Since Bruce Ross is here, something that we have quite a bit of in this county that's often forgotten is that when we have a multi-jurisdictional fire, as was McKinney and Mountain Fire, the checkerboard ownership that we have in our county between federal government and private leaves a lot to be desired from a fire abatement, fire recovery standpoint, in that the federal government will come in, do contour felling, do all kinds of watershed hardening to avoid the debris flows that we experience with the coming rains. It wasn't a big deal until we had landscape fires like we have now. Now that we have them, the other checkerboard piece goes unabated, which presents a formidable risk to downstream homes and residences, because there's really no mechanism to address the in-stream issues associated with fire on private land. And it's becoming a real issue, especially in my district, like the service districts whose water intakes have been plugged after some of these events, and we struggle with that. So I appreciate that. I've elevated that at the federal level, can't spend money on private land to take care of that issue. The county does the road piece very well. There's a lot of territory in between the roads that doesn't get anywhere. So I'm bringing up here.
Absolutely, I 100% agree, especially like with the Callahan Water District, something like that was a huge concern, and we're seeing the same with our water districts here in both these recent fires. So, yes.
And you and I work closely on the issues with McKinney Fire and the Humbug drainage with the residences.
Absolutely.
There and the potential debris flow and loss of property there.
And then for those following online, Ms. Wendy, uh-huh. I'm going to skip to item 10A, the Board of Supervisors request. This is Chris Bryant, Shinoni's here, Office of Emergency Services. We'll get them done that way. We don't hold them here. For the public to understand that, a lot of pinch points go through there. At this time, should be fairly quick things we'll go over to get your comment on. So, Ms. Wendy, we're going to do item 10A, which is review of status of related to drought declared by Resolution 22.74. Mr. Shinoni, do you want that extended or terminated?
Yes, Board of Supervisors, I would like that extended. Even though we do have some rain today, we still have parts of our county that are within the drought area, and it does allow our residents some ability to access funding.
Wishes of my colleagues.
Move to extend.
Second.
Motion in a second. You can choose, Ms. Wendy.
Okay.
Open to be fine or even more.
I got it.
Okay. And then roll call vote.
Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Thank you.
We're going to skip B. We don't block. Shimonia's not part of that. And then we'll go ahead and see Ms. Wendy, which is the Mud Creek at the Grief Road. I'll make a motion to extend.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Second.
That's to extend. Thank you.
Extend, correct.
Okay, Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. Item D, which is the McKinney Fire emergency. Ms. Wendy, the things will just skip around.
No worries. That was McKinney.
Second.
Okay, Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Thank you.
And Mr. Shinoni, it sounds like we won't be holding up from work.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I will be out in the field. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Excellent.
Just for the public, we're just moving things on. We're coming back to public comment here. Mr. John DeKline. And there's a few people here today, so go ahead, sir. After him will be Mrs. Misty Clifford. Yep, after him. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning again. My name is John DeKline. I'm a resident of Hornbrook. I was here a month ago to at least bring to your attention the issue that I have with getting a building permit process handled. And one of the things is I still don't have, a month later, I still don't have my permit to be able to work on my backup generator system. And I don't know how long it's going to take for that to happen. I know there's no favoritism because my father is the neighbor of Ms. Ogren, and he waited 6 months for his. So I don't know how long it's going to take. I do know in the meeting last month there was a comment that there was going to be a review of the process during the week, and I was hoping that the review was accomplished and that information would be available to the public so that if we could make comment on helping the process, if that was it. I mean, my background is in quality assurance and quality control, so I used to have a lot of tools and my experiences for helping processes become better. So I don't want to take up a whole bunch of time, so that's I just would like that process to become a better process because it's not working very well right now. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Clyde. Supervisor Howe?
So, I'll put you on the spot, but could you your report out what we did last week in the building department for this building?
Certainly.
Or, excuse me, 2 weeks ago.
Wendy, I don't think is the microphone on?
Yeah.
Okay. Angela Davis, County Administrator. We did meet with the building department and agreed to add additional staff, which was brought before the board at the last meeting for approval, which the board did approve. And so now that recruitment process will take place. And so we've added 4 new positions to the department in order to expedite the permitting process and to alleviate the backlog. So we are definitely working on it with the department.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The yes. Chair, although that won't be immediate, at least it's no. Moving forward.
Correct.
Right. Miss Misty Clifford, and after her will be Marissa from Lewiston.
Hi, my name is Misty Clifford, and I'm speaking on behalf of IHSS workers for the SEIU 2015 union. We are the last county in all of California to get a contract, which we've been working on. We need a contract not only to help support our families, we're currently making minimum wage. So we're hoping to get above that. For Siskiyou County, we also need trainings. I had a client that I was working for, and without proper training of lifting, I injured myself and was unable to work for that client anymore. And I really liked working for her, but we're not getting the proper training to lift them. We're not getting the proper training for memory care. I never knew who I was going to be when I walked in the door. Sometimes I was myself, and other times I was her family members, and I just went with it. It brought her joy, which brought me joy. I had another client that I was working for that I was being harassed by his children, and without any support or any knowledge of how to deal with the situation. So I ended up having to walk away from this man. I got a call about a week before he passed away that he needed extra help, and I cannot walk back into that situation because of the harassment. As I was going to another Board of Supervisors meeting for the union, I got the phone call that he passed away. Had I had the proper training of how to deal with the harassment, I might have been able to be there for him. I'm sorry, this guy was dear to my heart. Along with the wages to help support our families, we need the proper training to take care of these clients. So we don't walk into a situation where we have to walk away from our client that we have built the trust with, that we've built the relationship with, because we don't have the proper training to take care of them. So we're asking for training sessions, for CPR, for lifting, for Alzheimer's care, so we can properly take care of these clients that we care so much about instead of having to walk away.
Thank you, Ms. Clifford.
Thank you.
Thank you. Marissa, you're up. And then after Melissa will be Cynthia Seaver.
Hey, good morning, Board. My name is Marissa, and I'm standing in for Jacob Hibbitts, who would be the organizer should you choose to unionize Siskiyou. I just want to let you guys know, thank you first and foremost for letting us be here and listening to us. I want to let you know that truthfully, caregiving is a very difficult task, not just physically, but also emotionally. And for you to entertain the idea that We care for a number of human beings who have probably been accomplished in their lives, have probably received education, and have been very successful in the field that they have, you know, chosen to follow in life. They've come to a point where they've become incapacitated, so much so that they need a person to help them stay home and do the things that they normally can do on their own, cook for themselves, to go to the restroom, and just pretty much everything. We need to really consider caregivers and really think about what it is that they do and how much they give of themselves, physically and emotionally. Caregiving is a difficult job. We like Misty said, we have to learn to lift appropriately. We have to, some of our clients are bedridden. We have to turn them and know how to wound care. Minimum wage is what we're getting right now, and I again implore you to consider with your heart and your mind if that is an adequate wage for caregivers. Any raise that we get, we will be giving back to the community. We're registered voters. We have our voice. We love to use our voice. We will be spending our money locally. The members would be spending their money locally. I really just implore you to just please think about unionizing the caregivers here. It'll help stabilize them, give them job security, make sure that their clients are treating them appropriately. We can get them educated in the ways that they really need to be educated in. And last but not least, $15 an hour minimum wage for really doing a job that a nurse or a doctor should be doing. A lot of times, this isn't like nursing care. We're dealing with fecal matter. We're dealing with human vomit. I'm sorry to take it there, but that is our job. And we would never change that for the world because we love our clients. And we love them so much that we stay at a job that pays us minimum wage so that we can take care of them. Just please, we have our hearts open and we're out on the table. Just, you know, consider us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marissa.
Absolutely.
Listen. Oh, ladies, there's some seats over here if you'd like to
sit. Up here in the front row on the right side, there's some seats.
Yeah, thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
So then Cynthia Siever, and then after that would be Diana Lofton.
Deanna.
Deanna.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Siever. I also am a caregiver for IHSS. And, you know, our biggest thing there years and years ago, decades ago, okay, I was trained on how to lift and things. But these new ones that are here are not trained. They have to have training, okay? They will injure their back, and it's a lifetime of pain. You don't get rid of that. And these elderly or disabled people, we do both, I mean, they need assistance, okay? We're the ones out there giving the assistance. I don't see anybody else volunteering to help us. Nobody. We get minimum wage. People at McDonald's beats us in wages. And we have no benefits of any kind, none. When we have a bill or a medical bill, it comes out of our pocket. How many medical bills can we pay for $15 an hour? This is not fair to us. We're the ones out there. And one of these days, somebody in this room is going to need a caregiver. And it's going to be one of us that's gonna show up. We need something, okay? We're out there helping people. Well, why can't everybody help us? I don't get it. We just don't get no help. We need the help. I don't understand why. We help all these others. I'm helping a client right now that's on dialysis 3 days a week. He's got COPD, and he's going to die. I've known the guy 31 years, and I can't do nothing about it. It really does hurt. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Siever. Ms. Deanna, and after that, Mr. Siever.
He actually left the room.
Oh, he did. Gotcha.
Yes. Okay. My name is Deanna Lofton. I'm also representing the IHSS workers of Siskiyou County. Just like Misty touched on, as far as harassment goes, I care for a developmentally disabled adult who's mentally 3, so she can't sign off on my paychecks. Her older brother does, who's also disabled. He sexually harassed me. He took advantage of me and refused to sign my paychecks. Had I had proper training for harassment to know how to go about this, I went 6 weeks without pay because this man was refusing to pay because I told the family what he had done to me. The developmentally disabled adult, she doesn't know. She gets mistreated by her brother and her sister-in-law. I came in, she has the will to live when I'm there. Hence the word caregiver. I care deeply for her simply because I feel like nobody else cares for her. They just see her as a disabled person and a burden. My job is to keep her out of a nursing home. I worked for a nursing home, and that's basically where you go to end up in a casket, to be lightly. One day, just like she said, one of you guys, this is your mother, this is your father, this is your disabled brother or sister. I'm caring for her. I'm the one changing her diapers. I'm the one giving her a shower. I'm the one sitting there at the emergency room for 11 hours at a time not getting paid for it. I'm doing it because I simply care enough about her. They only give you an allotted hours. You don't know this client. You don't know what exactly she needs. We need to know how to, like they said, lift. She fell on top of me 2 days after I got a heart catheterization, but I caught her fall, so I softened the blow. Yes, I hurt myself, but to me, it was better than injuring her because I care too much about her, just like you would throw yourself in front of a bullet for your child. I do the same thing. And I think that we need to have more pay, just like they said. I have 4 children, and 3 of my kids are epileptic, as well as I. I can't afford to pay my bills, my rent, my medical with $15 an hour. I know you guys don't get $15 an hour, and I know you guys wouldn't stand for somebody caring for your loved one who simply is caring for them for the paycheck. I don't do it for the paycheck. I do it out of the sympathy and the goodness of my heart because I want people to thrive. And with me in that household, even though I've had a problem with her brother who pays my checks, I'm still there every single day. I'm reminded of what he did every single day, but I'm there every single day. And I stretch myself to the limit for this woman simply because I'm a caregiver. So all we're asking is to be unionized together so we can have more pay, we can have more benefits, and we can have proper training. So I would have known how to deal with that harassment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other public comment regarding issues? And then the board can't respond because we're in negotiations, but if Melissa Cummins wants to come up and just give an update for board members. If you could identify your job and everything, I'll just
say thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Melissa Cummins, Deputy County Administrator for Personnel and Risk Management. I did want to let the board know that we are currently in active negotiations. We sent our last proposal back to SEIU's labor negotiator on September 30th. I think we just got an email back from him on Friday requesting some information. But since the group was here back in March, I believe it was, we've been actively trying to get them to the table. So that's the update I have for you at this point.
Thank you, Ms. Cummins. What we're going to do now is go into the consent agenda.
What's your
online? Oh, public comment. Anything online?
Sean, not online.
You're online? All right. What we're going to do is go into the consent agenda. Wishes of my colleagues on the consent agenda.
We'll have a couple of questions.
Okay.
F, like Frank. Thank you.
D is in dog and L.
Any other requests from board members for the consent agenda?
If not, move to approve the balance of the consent agenda minus D, F, and L.
Second.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobb-Seth?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. We'll do it in alphabetical order. D.
If someone from the library, Mr. Perry here, or online. Should we wait, I guess, until you can. Sure.
All right, you'll contact Ms. Davis? All right. We'll put that one on hold. I'll ask her if it. We'll do F, Mr. Supervisor Hopp.
Sure. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just have a couple questions, but reading through the contract, I was kind of drawn toward in Exhibit A on page 13. It makes reference to a target population, and it says transition age youth, but it doesn't give me a definition of what that is.
Transition age, Sarah Collard, Director of Health and Human Services. Transition age youth are youth age 16 through 24. Okay. So it's an MHSA definition of just that particular age group.
Okay, so they're not in transition to a court system or?
No. It's all youth within
okay,
that age group.
I was just looking for, I didn't see a definition, like in the definition section or anywhere else. And then the other question I had was how are minors' health records treated from the release to, say, a legal parent? There's a lot of talk about confidentiality, not sharing with anybody else. But Are they shared with the legal parent or not?
Yes. In most cases, they, you know, the parent can request to see the record. There are, you know, emancipated youth, for instance, parents don't have right to their records. There are certain, you know, in situations where children are being abused by a parent, they're not given access to the records, and there's some other. But yes, generally.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Okay, Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Aye.
Supervisor Oprin?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye. And then item L, Supervisor Kopsev.
Sheriff's Department. Anybody? Can we wait?
Do you need to email that? And then, Ms. Davis or Ms. Anna, if you could let us know when they log on, and just welcome back to them. Thank you. I think Wendy will remind me if I skip those down the road.
Yeah, I'll try.
Okay, so now we're on item 6A, which is public requests. First five, Siskiyou. Read across Siskiyou presentation.
Good morning. I'm Karen Potts, the First Five Siskiyou Children and Families Commission Executive Director. And Brianna Ramshaw is with me, and I invited Brianna to go. Brianna, I can share that with them so that you can maybe say a few words. If you don't know Brianna, Brianna grew up in Siskiyou County and now has been an amazing team member with First Five, and she recently graduated from Cal State Monterey Bay and has been with us for the last almost 6 months.
Since March.
And we're so proud of her. She was just accepted to go teach English in Taiwan. And she's been a part of volunteer service for First Five, probably since she was 5 years old, if not younger. So before we do the Read Across Siskiyou Proclamation, I'd like for Rihanna to kind of share about her, what it's meant to just be part of this effort of early literacy and just anything else.
Thank you, Karen. I'm Rihanna Ramshaw. As Karen mentioned, I'm born and raised in Siskiyou County. I started preschool in Mount Shasta. I went to COS, and in 2016-2017, I was the representative for the Mount Shasta Rotary Club as their exchange student to Taipei, Taiwan. As you can clearly tell, it was a wonderful experience for me as I'm going back. I'm confident when I say that the experiences that I had with early literacy, specifically through the Resource Center and through First Five, are major reasons why I feel that I am so confident and accomplished at 22. Early literacy has shown to improve so many different facets of life, including critical thinking, creativity, vocabulary, literacy, so on and so forth. It is really such an important aspect to a young child's entire life, and it means so much to us that you're helping us help the children of Siskiyou County, because it will change not only their lives, but the lives of everybody that they interact with for the rest of time. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Rihanna.
Thanks, Rihanna. So I also want to thank two of our commissioners, Supervisor Kopsev and Dr. Kalord, who are just, it's such a blessing. This is my 18th year being the executive director, and it's such a gift to serve to the commission. So thank you both for being here, and thanks for being on the First Five Commission. And then before that, I realized that oftentimes Wendy is a gift to us, you know, and to all of us, right? Maybe when she retires from here, she could come work with First Five. So I just wanted to, that's what happens,
you can't
right?
Steal her now.
Yeah. I just wanted to take a moment to share our appreciation with Wendy. You're always you have this masterful way of being such an incredible support, so thank you.
You're welcome.
15th Annual Read Across Siskiyou. hard to believe. Started with Dr. Perlman coming to a commission meeting and saying, I have an idea for all of you, and sharing this concept with us to have a day of reading the same, children reading the same book throughout the county with special guest readers. So 15 years later, the commission has dedicated this annual event in remembrance of Dr. Perlman. So we want to thank each one of you for being such supporters, as Rihanna said, and for making the time to be guest readers. And we'd love to invite you again to be a guest reader in the community of your choice. The schools are open this year. There's no restrictions for anything, so we really would appreciate if you would consider being a guest reader this year. The packet of information has more resources about literacy and other programs that we have available. And as Rihanna said, there's great results specifically in our county that we're seeing as because of these literacy efforts. If you're interested in learning more about what the independent evaluations say about what happens when we invest in early literacy, please take a few minutes to go to the First Five website, or we can send you more information and look under evaluation of all the results that we're finding here in our county. The best gift that we can give to people is the love of reading, and the way that we can promote it is through the people who love them. So through this year's book, My Tale's Not Tired, not only are we encouraging daily reading, but we're also reminding parents and family members the importance of sleep, and ourselves too, the importance of sleep. When we have enough sleep, when children have enough sleep, they do better. So this year, our effort is to promote not just reading, but the importance of sleep for children and for adults. Finally, I want to thank the library and Michael Perry. They are a key partner in this effort. Without them and without all the different partners here, we couldn't have the kind of success that we do each year with many of, almost all of our projects. Thank you for the opportunity. Do you have questions?
Any questions or comments, colleagues?
Just a quick one. You know, in your developmental screenings,
yes.
Are you screening for dyslexia?
You know, it's a little bit too young for the 0 to 5, but it definitely is. The screening becomes the gateway for further monitoring. And what happens oftentimes is because this developmental screening tool is implemented by the parent, who really understands the child more with a topic area expert, that definitely the monitoring for those types of things and the normalization to ask for help and do good to look for help is absolutely part of it. But I agree with you about understanding, increasing people's knowledge about dyslexia before it's too late.
It's just something that for some reason just keeps coming up in my conversations with people of late, and that a lot of people don't even know they had that, even as adults.
Exactly.
And it's such an event. I've had some experience with it personally with some folks I know and things.
So yeah.
Exactly.
And for just at all levels, right? There's a wonderful book that's called Smart But Feeling Dumb. And it really, I mean, that title is so powerful because there are so many incredibly bright people that we come across that if it was caught early, their trajectory would be very different than what we see in our society. So thank you for that. Actually, I'm getting some thoughts in my head, so thanks. I appreciate it.
Supervisor.
Sure. I appreciate all that you do. First Five, anything along that front, you know, one of my soapbox things has always been we're 58, 57, 56. We have not moved that needle. So I guess on one hand, what have we done? Not fall farther back, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah.
I will tell you, my wife works at Denver Elementary. You know, we can do all the books you want, but the parents don't participate. It's a struggle. It's an uphill struggle, an ongoing struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that we have things behind us. One of the things I hear at the State Association, First Five, is the funding source, how that's, it's a bad nexus with cigarettes and First Five funding, because we're trying to decrease here, right. Health side, Mr. Ross, you take back to soon-to-be Governor Dolly that appropriate funding for early education, direct line for First Five, is more valuable than tying to some vice.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think we have to look at it from a lot of angles.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate all that we've done over the years. I'm still struggling to see. I think we need to think outside the box a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. So I'd be looking, for as long as we've known each other, ideas.
Right. Yeah.
How to do it.
I know that. I just appreciate your candor, Supervisor Venezuela. I think one of the things that I would say is, imagine what things would be like if we didn't have these resources. Imagine what it would be like for our children in our communities if we didn't have these resources. It's hard to measure prevention, but what I would say, I 100% agree with you that there's so much more to be done. And children do spend most of their time with their parents. And, as long as we can get people to continue to get the supports that they need, and from early childhood, so that we can have many more successful adults. One third of the children in our communities walk into the kindergarten classes not being prepared for school. One third.
And that's proven my point, exactly. Yeah.
Honestly, that we need people like your wife, we need people in the community to be part of this effort, because one third isn't that much, because if you think about it, 500 children are the only, is what we're talking about. There's 500 kindergartners that enter kindergarten every single year. We are powerful enough in this amazing county to make a difference. We just have to continue to be strategic, and we just have to continue to support the people that are the most important people in their lives, their parents, and their communities. So,
thank you.
I agree. You're welcome.
Supervisor Cox, yes?
So, Ms. Potts, I just want to thank you for your great work. I know, I don't want to make it sound as though it's personal to you, but you put your whole self into the program and into First Five as the executive director. And quite frankly, the success of First Five is attributed, I believe, mainly to you and to your staff and the work that you do for the commission. So I can't express enough my gratitude for what you take on. So thank you.
Thank you.
And with that, unless there's anything else, I'd move to approve the resolution.
I believe there was some discussion.
Okay, sure.
Everybody said it, but thank you for everything you do and the work that you've done also with C2C4S, because that organization and everything you put into it is just amazing. The collaboration that we've seen on that group not only incorporates First Five, but the forward thinking that goes all the way to the 24-year-olds, but it starts so young.
Mm-hmm.
And that young group, along with their parents and everything that your brilliance puts into that, just moves everything forward from babies all the way to young adults. And that kind of work, along with First Five all the way through with the collaboration of C2C4S, which is so inclusive, is what makes it all work, and you make it work. So thank you for everything you do and your amazing foresight and ability to include everybody in what you do is just beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Very appreciate it. Thanks.
It's all been said.
Thank you. I have to say, I really appreciate things, but we're as strong as our partners. And Dr. Kalor, I mean, everyone, and there's so many people, starting with Dr. Kalor, that make this work so much easier, because when there's resources available, they say, let's do this together. When in the community we need something, we go to the Family Resource Centers and Michelle and others. You know, just the success is everybody's and challenges is everybody's. And so the key is to work together in good faith and to believe in something bigger than ourselves. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George.
I move to approve the resolution.
Second.
Okay. Roll call. Supervisor Hell?
Aye.
Supervisor Kolbstaff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Oh, sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. And just for my colleagues, I think Supervisor Valenzuela has a resolution there. And
proclamation.
Yep.
We'll just pass that down and have us all sign it. I think that's in the office. Do you have a special pin for us this week? It's passed, and we'll get that resolution to you and everything.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
What I'm going to do, Supervisor Kopsef requested item L on the consent agenda.
Yeah.
I see Sheriff LaRue's here. I don't want to hold him up. So Supervisor Kopsef or Ms. Wendy, we're going to go back. Oh, Michael's on. Okay. We'll do item L first, though.
Is that the City of Tule Lake?
City of Tule Lake.
MOU?
Supervisor Kopsef has some questions.
So the only question I have is that, one, that it's the expenses are meeting the contract. We're not, the city contracts, I don't know. It's, for me, it's been difficult, I know, to pinpoint the cost and what we receive in return for that cost. I just don't want us to be supplementing, you know, or subsidizing. It should meet the actual cost of the contract. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, good morning, Chairman Chris, members of the board. Yes, so this is the Tule Lake contracts for dispatching services.
Right, understood.
And so this is just extending it. So it is meeting the costs. We're trying to, we have been working with the different departments to capture, you know, the true cost for everything. But yes, it is sufficient.
Okay, thank you. Move to approve. Sorry to call you in, but
no problem.
Glad to be here.
Okay. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsef?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. We'll now do item D. I believe Mr. Perry's on. You may have to raise his hand. Do you know which one is in? You do? Perfect. All right, we'll do item D, and I believe that was Kopsef.
Mm-hmm.
Question on that one?
Are you there, Mr. Perry?
I am there. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, right, we can. Thank you. I'm just looking at the terms and conditions for this grant award, and while it looks like it could be a great program, there's a lot of nuances to it, and I'm just curious, you're going to be able to meet all of the criteria, the requirements for the grant, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know
this is not a new grant for us. This is kind of an ongoing grant that the state library has been providing to a number of libraries in California.
This is a new program?
It's not a new program, no.
It is.
I mean, in the sense of we've had it for about, I think this will be our fourth year.
Are there new requirements in this grant, though?
Not that I'm aware of, no. It's a duplicate of what we did last year, very similar.
So the governor has an executive order. This was in play last year as well?
The executive order for?
There's a, let's see. It's on, doesn't have a page number, but it's dated September 19th. Dear grantee, it's a letter, and it's saying that on March 4th, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N622 regarding sanctions in response to Russia aggression in Ukraine. That's been in the past?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any example or even cautionary guidance that the state library has given. The scope of the grant is that patients make requests to us. We purchase the item, you know, as long as it meets the criteria, which is fairly neutral. It's available on Amazon.
And that's understood.
That we're able to purchase it. But I'm not aware of any
Well, it's part of the grant, and that's what this is part of the grant, and that's what I'm trying to bring to your attention. I want to make sure we're able to meet the requirements without you accidentally getting penalized and having to have a payback.
I see. I can certainly follow up with the State Library in terms of understanding what we want, what guidance they give in terms of purchases on Amazon, but I'm not aware of anything concern or otherwise that they have. They haven't given any guidance on that.
I would just ask that you would go back and read the requirements that I was provided for today's decision, and get back to us, because I just want to make sure we can meet the requirements. There's several nuances in there that I just want to make sure.
Okay, I can definitely do that, and I'll follow up with our representative at the State Library who oversees the grant program to get some more concrete assurances.
Thank you.
We'll put that on hold for a little bit. We'll come back to it. Miss Wendy, are you fine, or would you like to?
I'd like to make our audio files a little bit smaller. So yeah, if we could take a couple minutes
we'll
break,
it'd
be great.
Break. And after that, we'll get to the Civic Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, Mr. Griffin and Mr. Smith will do the presentations.
Okay.